She's my best of everything, and you're the best. Okay. I just have a quick testimony. Let's quickly put our hands together and clap for Pastor Munene. I want us to clap for Pastor. Don't touch it? Oh, okay, thanks. Pastor Munene preached for us last week, and he told us how God had been great in his life, how he had rewarded him out of nowhere with a house and a car. And then Pastor came in and said, if you have a need, we are praying that God comes through. And he mentioned a need that I had. I needed a stranger to come and pay my tuition at school. I have been looking for tuition in many places, and I just left it to God. And so I say to myself, that is my prayer. Now, yesterday morning, I woke up early and opened my email, and I saw a strange email. I had applied for a scholarship a long time ago, and I had forgotten about it. And I thought I didn't qualify. Only to open the email to find that someone had given me $10,000 for scholarship. And I cannot imagine how. And I just said, I must come and let this church know that God is alive. He comes through even when you think he has forgotten you. Pastor Munene said, delay is not denial. It is true, church. So even when you are at your lowest, you have preached, you have prayed, and you have whatever, never give up, because there's someone who is watching over you. Whatever issue it is, be it unemployment, be it whatever it is, just trust in the Lord. But I want this church to know that our prayers are reaching the Most High God. It is real. So for that, may God be praised. Yeah. Other than that, I also want to thank this church, because for a long time I didn't have a job, and this church kept praying for me. Now, then we had a very unfortunate situation where a friend passed in my house, and everybody that came to the to our house kept saying, Ben and Purity, God will come through for you. At that time, my need was a job, and many of you did not know that. So every time somebody said that, in my heart I said, God, may it be a job. May it be a job. Let me tell you, out of nowhere, I got an email. We buried Joseph on the 7th of May. Around that week, I got an email that said, we have seen your resume somewhere. Please come for an interview. And I went for the interview. And the interview was just a good exchange of how are you, what's your mother's name, and things like that. Let me tell you, on my birthday, May 26th, I got a job. Okay, so I look at all these things and say, how can you give up on God? You know, yeah, he does things that there's no human understanding at his own time. So what I have learned to do is to be patient, and I'm still learning, and just let's work together. I'm sharing with you because I know we all have different challenges, and sometimes we are like, will it ever happen? Has he forgotten me? He has not. So let's continue to believe in God. We love this church. It's our church. It's our home. It's a small church. Purity and I keep saying, it's not the numbers. It is wherever two or three gather. God is there. So let's just continue to trust him. But we have seen our miracles happen in this church. My son, as Pastor said, I always wanted him to go to university. We didn't know how. It has happened. So small things like those ones, don't take them for granted. Yeah, so let's always believe in God, even our most trial, hour of trial. At the end of the day, remember that we came on earth to do his work, and he equips us at his own time to do that work. Praise God, and we love you all.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, people, God is so real. Our God, the God that we serve, the God that we lose sleep upon, you know, when you deny yourself sleep, when you deny yourself food, our God is so real. It wasn't easy for Ben to not have a job for 1.5 years. And I'm telling you, it wasn't tough. And I remember, let me tell you, If what I had prepared doesn't come out, but we leave this place knowing that God is real, it'll be okay. So don't worry about time. Praise the Lord. Because maybe you're in a situation like we were in. At one point, I remember we were so broke because, you know, my job was paying for mortgage and, you know, the basics. And I remember one time it was on a Friday evening and I heard a knock on the door. And I'll never forget, Sister Catherine and Pastor Tony and their children, they came to our house. Let me tell you, they kept going to the car to get groceries. And we didn't have anything, you know. And you can't tell everybody, we don't have this. And I remember when I looked, we had no soap. They brought the biggest Tide, you know, Tide. And me, I like Tide. Not the cheap, the Tide from Sam's Club that's so expensive. They brought food. They brought cabbage. They brought things. And I said, God, help me to love. Help me to be there for somebody. I remember one sister in this church coming to me and saying, I'm planting a seed. And she gave me a check. And we lived by faith. So maybe you are in this place and you're going through a difficult time. You lost your job and unfortunately you are not making ends meet. Let me tell you, God will come through. Praise the Lord. God will come through. Amen. As long as you have breath, as long as you keep believing him, he will come through. Amen. God bless you so much. And what Ben didn't tell you is that the previous night, that Friday night, we didn't sleep. We kept tossing and we couldn't sleep because, you know, school is about to start and, you know, there was no thing about school fees. And let me tell you how God works. The week before, I kept sending him an email and I kept telling him, Ben, we have to come up with a way to pay school fees because at SMU, if you don't go to school for 2 semesters, you have to reapply again and it's a long process. And I remember I kept sending him an email and I said, you know, I told him, send me your transcript. We even started thinking of looking for a class at a community college that would transfer to SMU, but he kept telling me, you know, the classes that are remaining, I cannot take them at a community college. And I just kept saying, and I said, you know what, God, Ben will come, God will come through somehow. And God came through, meaning that this coming year, we will not have to pay out of pocket. That is what God can do. Praise the Lord. That is what God can do for his children. That's what God can do for you, for my sister, for my brother. I don't know what you are believing God for, but I want you to have faith. I want you to take our testimony and tell God, God, if you did it for this family, you can do it for me. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I know that what you did for us looks great, but it is even greater for what you are going to do for my brother. It is even greater for what you are going to do for my sister. Lord, you are not a respecter of people, God. I thank you for the door that you are going to open. I thank you for the testimonies that are going to come out of this place. I thank you for the jobs that you are preparing for the children of God in this place, in the mighty name of Jesus. None of us will lack. None of us, my God, will not go to school because we don't have school fees. None of our children will stay home because they do not have school fees. In the mighty name of Jesus. You did it for us, Jehovah God. You will do it for any one of us who believes in you. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. God is so faithful. God is so awesome. Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Thank you, Pastor, for giving me the opportunity. I'm truly, truly honored to stand in the midst of my brothers and my sisters. It's been a long time, but Pastor kept telling, when are you going to preach? And I said, I will let you know until I knew that the Lord had spoken to me. Amen. I honor the leadership of this church. I don't take it for granted. I just thank God, even just having the opportunity. Amen. Matthew chapter 13. I don't know who's going to read for me. Claire, can you read for me? You have your Bible? It's always good to bring your Bible to church. Amen. Come and read for me, ma'am. Matthew 13, read until. Amen.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprung up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on the ground, on good soil, where it produced a crop. 160 or 30 times was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who receives the seed that fell on rocky places is the main one who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of his life and deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown.
Thank you, Claire. I can hear an echo on this. There's an echo. No, it's good. Thank you. Hallelujah. This is the word of the Lord. And Paul used to pray when he was speaking to the people in the church in Corinth. He used to tell them, "I pray that I will be acceptable unto you. And today I pray that I will be acceptable unto you, because I am acceptable unto the Lord." Amen. So find it in your heart to accept me, and I promise you that you will receive this word. Amen. Because it's good to accept the person who is speaking the word. Because if you zip me out, it'll be in vain. Hallelujah. So you cannot do that. Amen. If you zip me out, I will remain out. And this word, I'm telling you. So accept me for now. Amen. Hallelujah. And he used to tell them, I'm not speaking this out of my intellect and clear speech, but I'm speaking to you with power. This is the word of God that has so much power. This word, Matthew 13, says that same day, Jesus went out of the house. Before that, we have seen Jesus, you know, there are people who followed Jesus. Everywhere he went, the Bible says that everywhere Jesus went, he did good. And so because he did good, people had a habit of following him. They did not follow him because he was Jesus Christ. They did not follow him because he was God Almighty, but they followed him because of what he did. At one point, he actually told them, "You guys, I know your hearts. You follow me because of the bread that I have given you. You follow me because I gave you fish the other day. Praise the Lord." So there are people in your life who will be with you, not because of who you are. If you are not who you are, they would not be with you. Praise the Lord. There are people who will follow you because of what you do for them. Amen. And Jesus used to have such people. Praise the Lord. Before that, Jesus, you know, if you read the prior chapters, Jesus had raised the widow's son. Praise the Lord. Who wouldn't follow somebody like that to see who next he is going to raise? Praise the Lord. He had healed the centurion's son. He had healed a paralytic. He had healed the man with leprosy. He had driven out an evil spirit. Praise the Lord. He had healed so many. Praise God. He had healed all of them. And demons were coming out shouting. Praise the Lord. Demons were coming out shouting, saying, "You are the Son of God." Hallelujah. And so Jesus, wherever he went, he created there was a stirring. When people heard that Jesus was going to be in that region, they followed him, mostly to see what he was going to do. Amen. There are people who are in the kingdom, not because of what the kingdom is, but what the kingdom can do for them. Praise the Lord. Because they know that if my son gets sick, the church will pray for me. If I die, the church will bury me. If it is my daughter who is getting married, the church will There are people who are in the kingdom, not because of what the kingdom of God is, but there are people who are there because of what the kingdom can do for them. I want to tell you today, as I finish this sermon, be examining your heart as I am examining mine. Why are you in the kingdom? Praise the Lord. Are you following Jesus because of what he has done or what he will do? Or are you following him truly, truly because of who he is? Because let me tell you, the dangers of following God because of what he can do for you or because of what he has done for you, it is because if the day he will not do what you are expecting him to do, then it will be problems. Praise the Lord. So you want to follow God for who he is. Praise the Lord. You want to follow God like Job, who said, even though he slay me, I will still follow him. Hallelujah. And I know that all of us are here because of who God is. Because let me tell you, if Jesus delays and you normally follow him because you are used to him acting quickly, then you will be in trouble. We will be looking for you and we will not find you because you will have found another God who can produce something faster. You know what I mean? Because when you are used to following God and he's doing things and he's doing things and he's doing things, and then all of a sudden as he is training you, he starts delaying a little bit, then you start thinking, where is he? I cannot find him. Praise the Lord. So when Jesus told this parable, in fact, I was looking at all the parables that Jesus told. And Jesus, let me tell you, Jesus would not have been a very popular preacher in today's setting, because Jesus was there to preach the word of God. Hallelujah. He was there to preach the kingdom. And sometimes Jesus preached a message that people did not understand, because he would go and give a parable, and before he was finished, he was gone. And it was upon the people to interpret the parable for themselves. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so if he had a church, it probably wouldn't be as full as the other churches, because a lot of times people didn't understand Jesus. And he kept telling them, let he who has an ear hear what I speak. Praise the Lord. So in all the parables, this is the one that he actually ended up explaining. Okay, this is the meaning of the parable. And the people who he explained the parable were the disciples. Praise the Lord. In fact, when he told this parable, the disciples went to him and said, Jesus, why do you always speak to people in parables? Why can't you just speak straight? I mean, what they did not tell Jesus is that they did not understand what he was speaking. Praise the Lord. And so they were saying like this because they did not understand. It is very easy to be in God, but you do not understand. Praise the Lord. It is very easy to be in, to be saved, and you do not understand what God is speaking. Praise the Lord. Imagine these were the disciples. They woke up every day with Jesus. They went to in the evening to sleep, and they still did not. In fact, Jesus was upset at them. He told them, he told them, the knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Meaning that because they were with Jesus, Jesus expected them to understand the parables more than anybody else. And he told them, I have given you the secrets of the kingdom, because they were with Jesus every day, but they did not understand. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus decided, if these people do not understand, I am going to make them understand this parable. Praise the Lord. And so he did. And that's where I start. Amen. And he told them about four people. Hallelujah. He told them about four people, or four kinds of hearts, or four kinds of shamba, you know, a place to plant and sow, reap and sow. He told them about four people. He told them about this farmer who did his job, and he went out and sowed his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. See, this farmer, he was scattering the seed. I'm imagining he had a big piece of land. He was just scattering, wherever it falls, let it fall. So he scattered the seed. There's no place where it says that he actually did something special with some of the seeds. He scattered the seeds. The thing that I want us to see is where the seed fell. Praise the Lord. After the scattering, where the seed fell. And the Bible says some of the seed fell along the path. You know, imagine us me scattering the seed here. The seeds that are most insecure are the ones that fall upon the path, because by the time we leave this church, we will have stepped on them and they will be of no use. So there was the seed that fell along the path. They didn't last long. The birds of the air came and ate it up. Others fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell along the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Amen? He who has an ear, let him hear. Hallelujah. Number one, the by the way people. Jesus explained, this is the people. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the by the way people. There are people who hear the word. You know what I love so much about all these four people? All of them heard the word. None of them rejected the word. They all heard the word, like we are hearing today. But it's what happened after they heard the word of God. The by the way people, they heard the word, but they did not understand it. Let me tell you, if I come here and I speak to my sister Lorraine, by the way, her name is Wangari. We give her the name Wangari. If I come and speak to her in Kikuyu, she will hear what I'm saying, but she will not understand. And because she will not understand, she will not even bother with what I have told her, because it's of no use to her. Amen? What if you hear something and you do not understand it? What do? You dismiss it because you do not understand it. Amen? So those are those people. They heard the word, but they did not understand it. And because they did not understand it, they were so vulnerable. The devil came and snatched it, what was sown. Amen? I don't know if there's any people like those here. Number two, the rocky people. The rocky people, R-O-C-K-Y. They heard the word, just like the people who are represented by the seed that was sown by the path. They heard the word. These ones were even better. They received it with joy. Do you know such people? They receive the word of God with joy. Amen? But it's what they do with the word after they receive it with joy. Amen? But they have no root. Amen? They have joy, but they have no root. And so because of that, the seed only lasts a short time in their heart. They quickly fall away in times of trouble. Hallelujah. In fact, the Bible says that they quickly fall away when trouble comes because of the word. Amen? Let me tell you, when you have the word of God, trouble will come. Amen? Because the devil will bring trouble, because when you have the word of God, you are a threat to the kingdom of the enemy. Praise the Lord. When you have no word, you are of no threat to anyone. But when you are fully armed, amen? Let me tell you, if you look at the intelligence reports, if they suspect that you have something that may resemble like a weapon or something, you are a threat. You are a threat. You are a threat to the nation that you are in. If they even perceive that you may have, God forgive us, someone left their purse and their cell phone on. Amen. Hallelujah. If the devil perceives that you have the word of God in you, he knows that you are a threat. And so he will fight you. He will bring trouble to you. Praise the Lord. So these people who receive the word with joy, but they have no root, will only last a short time when trouble comes. Amen? Then he talked about the third group of people. These are the thorny people. Thorns. These people, they hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making the word that they heard unfruitful. Praise the Lord. These are the thorny people. They hear the word, but the worries of this life, like the way we were worried on Friday night, we couldn't sleep. We kept thinking, God, who can you send? You know, we had no idea that God was working things in the background. We were so worried we couldn't sleep, wondering, God, what will it mean for Ben to reapply, to go back to school? You know, what does it mean? You know, he's already in the program. He's remaining on the 10 classes. God, what will it mean? And honestly, we could not sleep. Maybe you are here and you have spent countless nights worried about life. And it's legitimate to worry, because sometimes you go through challenges that for sure you can't even sleep. In fact, if you slept and you woke up, you would be worried because you slept. Praise the Lord. Because the issue is so huge that in your mind you have purpose that it is not normal for somebody with an issue like mine to find sleep. But I want to tell you, in Isaiah, I think it's in Isaiah 26, the Bible says that the Lord purposes to give sleep to they that are his. Praise the Lord. Examine yourself. And if you are the son or daughter of God and you are not sleeping, then there is an issue. Because the Bible says that the word of God is true. And if he has said that he has purpose to give you sleep, and you are not sleeping because of worry, then you are the only one who then you are the one who doesn't want to sleep. Because the Lord says that he purposes, it is in his place to give you sleep. Sleep that when the alarm wakes you up, you say, you be quiet, this sleep is too good. Hallelujah. Countless nights, you are fearful. You are faced with so many things, yet you have heard the word of God, but you are so fearful. You are so fearful. Let me tell you, it's good to bring Bibles to church. It is good to bring notebooks to church. I always challenge those who are very, very close to me, and I challenge them and I say, you have to bring a notebook to church. Because let me tell you, I could say one word and you note it in the notebook today. And 5 years, when you are going through an issue, you are just perusing anything that can help you. You find a word that was spoken by Purity on this day, and that word may save you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So it's good to have notebooks, to write notes, because let me tell you, you never know what you write. I give this testimony. One time I was going to the immigration office, and 2 days before, I hadn't slept. I hadn't slept. And I remember I was so worried. I was so worried. Worried like crazy. And I couldn't sleep. And on the day that I was going, I'll never forget, I was under a bridge on 35 and Mockingbird. I remembered a word that Pastor Wilson had preached, fear torments. And I pulled by the roadside. I had a couple of minutes. I went through my notes. I always have notes. Sometimes, you know, I write a lot. I went through my notes. And I found that sermon. And I started reading it. And I remembered the examples that he had given. Let me tell you, by the time I arrived at the immigration office, I was laughing. Because I was remembering Pastor Wilson telling the story of how his wife was telling him, you stay here. You know, you remember about the snake that they found in the house? And he was saying, fear torments. And he was looking at how bold his wife was. And by the time I arrived there, all my worry was gone. Praise the Lord. Because of a word that I put down, you know. So it's good. Praise the Lord. So next Sunday, please, if you can, and I know you can, please bring a notebook. Just be writing. Because you never know when that word might save you. Praise the Lord. That's a challenge. Amen. Amen. And seriously speaking, please bring a notebook and bring your Bible. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know you will still love me even after I challenge you. Amen. So the thorny people who hear but they are so worried, I know we are not those people. And then here is the fourth person. This is the person who is represented by the good soil, that when the seed fell on the good soil, it yielded a crop. This I call the yielded people, the yielded hearts, the people who receive the word of God and they believe it in their heart and they stick with it through thick and thin and they produce the fruits that God is looking for. Praise the Lord. Four people that the Lord talked about. Let's go back to the first people who do not understand the word of God. What would cause people not to understand the word of God? Let me tell you. If you hang out with somebody for so long, you start understanding them. If you're a visitor here for the first time, you come here, you find everybody knows each other because we've been together for so long. Hallelujah. And as you become a part of us, you find, hey, now I'm beginning to feel comfortable. I am becoming like them, you know, because we've hang out with each other for so long. Understanding the word of God. You have to be saved to understand the word of God. Praise the Lord. I say this because you have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit who helps you translate the word of God in your heart. Praise the Lord. So the first step to understanding the word of God is accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. David used to pray in Psalms 86 verse 11, God, give me an undivided heart. When you are not born again, you have a divided heart. One heart is for God and one half is for the kingdom. Let's speak the truth. Praise the Lord. Because you know what? We have to speak about salvation. Hallelujah. Because let me tell you, we are here because of salvation. Praise God. We may not make wealth. We may not do so much things. But we are here for the sake of our souls. And if we do not speak about finding God, then we will have gone wrong. Praise the Lord. So allow me to speak about salvation because this is the starting point. Amen. Salvation is the starting point. We can do so many things. And to tell you the truth, and I've even told Pastor Tony, and I've told him in so much love, and he loves me, and he accepts me, and I honor God for him, and I'm submitted to him. But I've told Pastor Tony, in every sermon in this church, let us have an altar call. Praise the Lord. Because let me tell you, we may come here and preach good messages, but if we do not make an altar call and someone comes, you know what? Let's make an altar call. And if someone doesn't come to the Lord, then their blood is not upon us. Praise the Lord. Because salvation is key, my brother, my sister. If we are to get to a point of where we are going to enjoy life, salvation is number one. Because we can keep coming to church, and it's good to come to church. Please do not misunderstand me. It's good to come to church. Please come to church. We love coming to church. And we want you to come to church. But there is something deeper than just coming to church. There's something deeper. There's something deeper about salvation. Praise the Lord. Because God knows that if some of us were never born again, seriously, we would not be in this church. I would not be standing here. Because what you see here is as a result of salvation. Praise the Lord. You know, ask my husband, and I'm sorry, but this, I have to say this. Praise the Lord. Because this is of God. I wasn't good. I was never a good person. I used to have a temper. I used to be so proud, you know. But when Jesus came into my heart, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I can tell you what salvation can do. Hallelujah. Salvation can change your whole life, my sister, my brother. And it's good if you're in this church and you are coming to church every Sunday. But if you are not born again, I urge you to get to know Christ in a personal way. Because you could come to church and come to church and come to church. But if you do not come and get saved, I'm telling you, you're not going to heaven. You're not going to see Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Salvation is number one. It's a number one key to understanding the word of God. Without salvation, there is no help from the Holy Spirit. So you could read the word like it was a novel or a Newsweek magazine or a Time magazine. But there will be no Holy Spirit to interpret the word or bring it to light for you. Hallelujah. To understand, you have to enroll in God's school. Salvation. There is no fees. You see the way we were struggling to come up with money to go to college. Come, you know, my sister, you understand about struggling to come with school fees. My sister, Waja, you understand about going to college. Or anyone who is going to college, you know what it means to go to college. You struggle for fees, you know. Let me tell you, in this school of God, in this kingdom, you do not need to struggle. The fees is already paid for. Hallelujah. It is paid for. And it wasn't cheap. It was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It cost him his son for you to understand the word of God. This is what I think. To understand, I equate it like in a school, maybe like you're in a university. The enrollment fee is already paid. No fees. You want to, nothing. You don't have to do anything. You just have to come and yield yourself unto him. Your name has to be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. I feel so strongly to speak about salvation. Hallelujah. Because maybe God is here to just save one person. When I think about salvation, it's easier to preach to somebody who you just found in a nightclub than someone who has been coming to church and coming to church and coming to church. I don't know why, but the person who is coming to church every day, and it's good to come to church, please. But this is how I see salvation for such people. You go to a school, you keep going to class. The professors think, you know, here in America, they don't care. As long as they see you in class, some of the classes I've taken, they don't even call the roll call. You just keep going to class, going to class. 1 year is over. 2 years is over. Three, the fourth year, there's a graduation. People are going to hire, you know, take their gowns. But you, who's been in that school, taking classes, you don't even get that far because your name cannot be found in any records. Praise the Lord. So come the day of graduation, you cannot graduate because the school doesn't even know. In fact, they will ask you, how are you even enrolled in these classes? Amen? It's like going to work every day. Going to work, going to work, going to work. Then Friday, you go for your paycheck. What's your name? We can't find your name. Because as far as we are concerned, we have no record of you ever working here. That's how it is. So today, I want to tell you, come to Christ. Come to Christ. It's already paid for. And when you come to Christ, you will start understanding the word of God. Come to Christ. Hallelujah. Come to Christ. There are people who are in the kingdom, but they do not understand the word of God. They are born again. They do not understand the word of God. And that's why I love this church, because we have a Bible study. We have Bible study on Thursday. We've been studying about the role of the Holy Spirit. Next Thursday, we start talking about the mind. Please, I urge you, if your mind is like mine, come to the Bible study. Because we want to know what the whole thing about the mind. Do you know how the mind is? We want to start learning about the mind and how our minds can be set for God, so that when we read, so that when we live for God, we understand what we are doing. Praise the Lord. To understand the word of God, you have to keep reading and reading and reading it again. Most of us, when you go to school, almost all of us, you don't just read something and then tomorrow you show up to take the exam. You read it, you read it, you go back, you revise it. Sometimes you read NIV, you read NLT, you read King James, New King James. You read again and again because you want to understand. Because one version can help you understand the word of God. So if you are born again and you find yourself not understanding the word of God, join a Bible study. If you cannot come on Thursday, seriously, look for a Bible study. Talk to pastor and tell pastor, "Pastor, I would love to enroll in a Bible study, but I can never make it on a Thursday. Can you find out, is there another church that you can recommend that they are having a Bible study?" Because Pastor Tony is not going to tell you no. You stay at home. Stay at home. Let's just see you on Sunday. Look, mean, maybe there are some visual aids that you can use that can help you understand the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Don't tell me you do not understand the Word of God if you do not read it. If you do not read it, you will never understand it. Praise the Lord. If you do not take this Bible and read, you will never understand. Amen. You may as well show up in heaven, but you will not have understood this word. So you have to keep reading it and reading it and reading it. Go easy on yourself. Start with the gospel. Start with the Psalms. Amen. When I got saved, I read Psalms. Oh my God, I kept feeling, my God, I think I am like David. People don't like me. And I would go to the book of Psalms and I would read about what David wrote when he felt people didn't like him. You know, I would read Proverbs and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not that, you know, that one, I'm not reading that. That one, no, you know, because you want to go easy on yourself so that you can start understanding. So read the Gospels, read the book of Psalms, read the book of Proverbs. Buy an easy Bible. I remember I used to read my teenager's Bible and it would be so good because the language was easier, you know, it was easier for me. So whatever it takes for you to understand the Word of God. But more than that, you have to hear it and hear it and hear it. And faith will start pouring in and lifting you up. And before long, you will be standing in this pulpit and speaking the Word of God because you have understood it. Praise the Lord. Every one of us has the potential to understand the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Then the next group of people, the people without a foundation. Those are the people who they received it with joy. But within a short time, they were down. Why? There are people who are like that. There are people who by the time they hit the bed in the evening, they have watched Duplantis, Copland, this. They receive it with joy, but they don't have a foundation. How do you get a foundation? Remember, salvation is number one. You can't have a foundation without salvation. The next thing that can help you have a foundation is to be grounded in a church. So that when you are grounded in a church, you will be taught the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And when you are grounded in the church, submit to the authority of the church. And the authority of the church may not be perfect. Praise the Lord. Because there is no one who is perfect but God himself. Praise the Lord. So please do not say, so and so is not perfect. I'm not going to submit to them. No, you are not perfect. So that person is not perfect. But Jesus Christ will help you. Praise the Lord. Submit yourself to the authority of the church. And that, be accountable to someone. Be accountable to an authority. Praise the Lord. I'm accountable to a couple of women in this church. And some of them don't spare me. They tell me as it is, praise the Lord. I'm accountable to Mrs. Moga and I love her. And sometimes I'll go and tell her, this is what I'm going through. And she'll tell me, Warega, we have talked about this issue before. Hata hii kitu, this is not even something to pray for. This is something for you to take care of. Go do it. I'm accountable to her. You know what? And she helps me because she wants me to grow. She doesn't want the issue that we prayed for last week, that is the same issue that I'm taking to her. So be accountable to somebody. Be accountable to pastor. And if he has so many people to help, then he will delegate you to somebody like Pastor Wilson or Sister Noel or Sister Wanja, Sister Catherine. I mean, be accountable to somebody. The good thing about being accountable is that when we do not see you in church, this person will call you. Amen? This person will come to your house. And this person will tell you, my sister, I understand what you're saying, but you know what? Not coming to church is not good enough. There are times I will have called somebody and I have said, you know what, my sister, that is not nice. Come to church, because if you don't come to church, I miss you. If you're not coming to church for anything, you better come because I want to see you, amen? And of course, you know, I'm telling her like that. But it's because when you have someone who you are accountable to, you can't just disappear. Someone will look for you, praise the Lord. If you're in this church and nobody can call you, nobody can come and look for you, praise the Lord, then there is a problem, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, be accountable to somebody, amen? Are you getting blessed? Yes. Amen, hallelujah. The third group of people, these are the people who worry about life, and I told you about them. Life will never be perfect, so let's get used to it. But let me tell you, let's get used to the life, that life is not perfect, but when we are in God, even when we go through challenges,
we will know that we can make it. Praise the Lord. Because these are, and let me tell you, this is where the majority of the people are. This is where most of us are. We love God with all our heart. We love God. We love God. We love God. But something little, it can sway us. Praise the Lord. We worry and we worry and we worry. And God said, even your worrying will not add one single day to your life. Praise the Lord. So let's get used to the fact that life is not perfect. We live in an imperfect world. I was telling Ben the other day that in my office we have, everybody has a TV in their offices besides me. And on the day the stocks crashed, I think that was last Monday, my boss was like, Purity, did you see? And I'm like, what happened? It's breaking news. And honestly, he came to my house, it's breaking news, oh my God. And he was looking for the remote. And he went and picked up that, you know. And so I followed him to his office thinking there was a bomb or something. And I followed him to his office. And he turned on the TV and it was breaking news. The Dow had plummeted, I don't know how many points. 400, 600. And me, I'm like, so now he was telling, do you know what this means? Our 401k, our this. To tell you the truth, I have a 401k through work, but it was not, I had to actually appear like I was worried. I really, really had to. I had to appear like I was worried, but I had no idea. And it's not that I don't like money, but it was not, and I'm telling you, from that day, and I think it went up a little bit and then it went down. And so he started explaining to me how he had stocks in these banks and this. And all day, he canceled two meetings to watch it. Because I think it goes up a little bit or something. So don't ask me. But it was a bad day for a lot of people. A lot of people had a bad day because the Dow went down. It didn't even go down. It plummeted. You know, plummeting is from up. Because the Dow went. Then, you know what I did on that day? I went to Facebook and I updated my status and I said, the Dow is down, but my God is up on the throne. And that's how I felt all day. And I'm telling you, by the end of the day, I said, Tim, bye, and I hope the Dow will be up tomorrow. And there are people who are losing sleep because of money today. Because this is where their hope is. This is how they make their wealth. But people like us, people who we are sold out unto the Lord, the Dow may plummet, the Nikkei may go wherever, but us whose hope is in the Lord, we shall be found standing. Praise the Lord. You know, David used to say in Psalms 119, if your word had not been my delight, I would have perished. By the time he said that, he looked and saw that the circumstances that he was in, and he realized, God, if I did not have your word, I would have perished. Let us be those people who will say, if God, I did not have you, I would have died. I would have perished. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, Psalms 121 verse 7, he will keep you safe from all harm. So if you are worried, if you are losing sleep, Psalms 121 verse 7, he will keep you safe from all harm. It doesn't matter what harm. It doesn't matter if there's, you know, the same week, there was news about a lake that was, turned red. You remember? In Texas, the lake turned red or something, the waters. And a lot of people, there was a buzz on the internet that the world was coming to an end. And my God was still on the throne. Praise the Lord. My God will still be on the throne. It doesn't matter if it rains blood. My God will still be on the throne. Because there are things and there are circumstances that will speak to your life that for sure they can worry you. But if you keep trusting God, praise the Lord, you will remain strong. Praise the Lord. Psalms 125 verse 2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround his people. So does the Lord surround his people. Hallelujah. Right now we are surrounded by these many walls. It could be 1,000 degrees outside, But the sun will not consume us because we are surrounded by these walls. Praise the Lord. And this is how God does. As long as you remain in Him, He will surround you with His protection that you will not see any harm. Praise the Lord. No harm shall befall you, my sister, my brother. I don't know what you are. Let me tell you, don't be paranoid about life. I had a friend call me the other day and she said, Purity, I think my phone is tapped. I said, what are you talking about? What crime have you committed? And she was very serious. And she was telling me, Purity, listen. And I'm like, what? Do you hear that? Do you hear that? I said, my sister. And she was very, very serious. She was like, let me call you again and you tell me. So she called me again. I said, my sister, have you stolen anything? Why are you worried? And she started telling me she had called her sister in the Middle East. And for sure, she was thinking that her phone was tapped. And she was like, can you hear that? You know, listen, listen. And she was very serious. She was like, listen, listen, can you hear that? I said, my sister, I pray in Jesus' name that whatever voices are in your head, I zip them out of your mind in the name of Jesus. And I prayed for her. And I said, my sister, I want you to do one thing. Go to the word of God and find out what it talks about fear. And I gave her the testimony about Pastor Wilson, about, you know, how he was telling us about the snakes, because that has never left my mind. And I said, you know what? Fear will torment you that you will hear people. You will see people, you know, people you never used to see, you will start seeing them. And I'm telling you, the next time I called her, I said, I'm going to call you and you tell me if you are hearing those clicks. She was telling me for sure. And she was telling me, I wish I had myself, and she was telling me, in fact, Purity, when I look, I'm seeing something on my cell phone, like a little bar thing. Fear. Fear will kill you, my brother, my sister. Fear will make you go crazy. But we who are of God, we who are of Jehovah, the God Almighty, who surround us, if the mountains surround Jerusalem, this is the same way God has surrounded His people. So we shall not be harmed by anything. Even if the heat goes up to 140 degrees, I can tell you for sure, the Lord God Almighty will keep you safe from all harm. Hallelujah. Because when He arises, His enemies are scattered. Praise the Lord. Imaginary and real enemies will scatter because of you. Praise the Lord. Because He is surrounding you. Hallelujah. I'm about to finish. The good soil people. These are the people who hear the word. They invest time in the word. They understand it. And they do it. It's one thing to hear the word of God. It's another thing to do the word. And the Bible says you have to hear it and do it. You can hear and hear and hear until you throw up of the word. But if you do not do this word, the word is still powerful. So I'm not going to say it's of no use. But it will not be of benefit to anyone. Do the word of God. Praise the Lord. Hear and do the word of God. Amen. These are the four people. These are the four people. I don't know where you fit. When I was growing up, and I'm about to finish, my father had four pieces of land. They were not big, so don't go saying, hey, in a period, they had four big pieces of land. No, they were really small. One, we called it Kagoda Karaihu. It was a long strip of land. One was called Igwaine. The only thing that grew there was sugarcane. The other one was Mekemaine. The only thing was the Mekema tree. I don't know what that is in English. The fourth one was Kiadafiu, you know, down there. These four pieces of land, my mother, I saw her invest depending on the land. Igwaine, she never planted anything major because it was never known to produce anything but sugarcane. Kiadafiu was really good, but when the river swelled, it was like really, really close to the river. When the river swelled, it became so soggy. So whatever you planted, you know, it was gone. She used to plant some Doma, arrowroots. Then Mekemaine, it was a nice piece of land, but the Mekemas were so huge, the trees were so huge, so there was too much shade, so the plants never got enough sunshine. But Kagoda Karaihu, it was closer to the home, and my mom would invest even in a fence because she protected it. It had the potential to yield. So when it came to planting, she was so, you know, it was a punishment if you were told to go and cultivate iwaine because of the, you know, like the you know, the things that cut your hands. So if you are, if you are under punishment, you are told to go and cultivate iwaine, you know, because it was hard. It was hard. But kagodakaraihu, it was just like you put in your jembe like this, and you know, the soil came. It was a rich place. And so my parents invested a lot in that piece of land. But that piece of land yielded a lot. And it was lovely. Even my mother used to, you know, when sometimes she would go and show people what she had planted, because she trusted that piece of land. This is the equivalent of people who yield good crops. They are trusted of Jehovah. They are trusted of God. God deposits things. He plants better things. Because they have yielded before, he can trust them to yield again and again and again. These are the people whom, if there is an assignment, they are given that assignment. Because the last time they were given an assignment by the Lord Almighty, they went and did that assignment, and something good happened. Praise the Lord. I pray that when the Lord is seeking for people who have a good heart, the rich soil, I trust that he will find you and I trustworthy. That he can trust us with the seed. That he can trust us with the souls of men. That when he trusts you with a word for you to take to somebody who is in the hospital, he trusts that by the time he deposits that word in your spirit, by the time you get to the hospital, because that word found a fertile heart, by the time that word reaches the hospital, it is the same word that Jehovah deposited in your heart. That word, you have not twisted it because of your intellectual knowledge. These are people, my brother, my sister. These are people who do not use intellect, but they listen of God. These are people who they take the word of God, they hide it in their heart, they do not sin against God. Let me tell you, this is what David said. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. These are these people, the good soil people. I pray that you are one of them. I pray that as you have examined yourself through this, that word has found a place in your heart, and that you will hide this word. That next time there is a situation and there is the potential that you may sin, because of the word that is in your heart, that word will speak in you and you will not sin. This is the word which in Isaiah, you will hear it and it will tell you, go this way, go that way. This is the word that you have hidden in you. This is God hidden in you. This is God hidden in you. If you have God hidden in you, you are this group of people. You will yield during the heat. You will yield when nobody else is yielding. You will yield 100-fold, 200-fold, because you are hidden in Jehovah. You will yield. When nobody else is producing fruit, you will produce fruit. And people will look and say, what is happening with this person? You are the people who, when there is something going on, as long as it is an assignment from the Lord Almighty, you will be found doing it, because you are the good soil people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray that you are the good soil people. And this is the time for salvation. This is the time for salvation. If you are in this place and you have never known Christ, but you desire Christ, that is why you are here. But you do not have a relationship with him. Let me tell you, this is your time. This is your time for salvation. I need for you to rise up or raise your hand, and we will pray for you. Because as long as you are outside of God, you will never understand this word. I trust that you will find it in your heart, that you will yield unto the Lord, that you will surrender unto him. Because I can tell you, it is important to yield unto the Lord. Are you in this place and you do not know Christ? Raise your hand, please. Are you in this place and you do not know Christ? Maybe you are in this place and you used to know God. He used to be your guide. but now you're not walking with him. We will pray for you. We will pray for you. Are you here? Are you here? Amen. Maybe you are in this place and you are represented by the people who hear the word. And for sure they love God. But the worries of this earth are just driving you crazy. I need for you to raise your hand and we will pray for you. Maybe the worries, you are worried about money, you are worried about your children. You're worried. And so you do not see God. You do not understand. You don't stay strong because of the worries of this world. Raise up your hand and we will pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Mighty and everlasting God, we thank you and we bless you this afternoon. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to minister to your children, God. God, I'm no more deserving than anyone else. But because of you, because of the blood, because of the finished work on the cross, you've given me this opportunity, God. Holy Spirit of the living God, I commit our lives before you. Guide us and help us to be the people who produce a crop, who are yielded unto you, God. Help us, God. I pray that you will minister to our hearts, to each one of us. Help us to love you, God. Help us to just walk in you, dear Jesus. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.